Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you for 2 hours today on this Tuesday, June the 23rd, 2020, 6:23, 2020, 15 coming up on 16 minutes past the hour. And we've got a great show planned for you today. And as many of you know, we are headed now straight into July 4th. Well, it will be a weekend this year, next weekend, and we are now into the season of summer, and a lot of things going on, and one thing that is continuous amid all of the statues coming down and changing of characters on food products is that the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic is still here, and still causing enough trouble for it to be a big issue. So as we do each and every Tuesday, we are going to visit with the Commissioner of Marion Public Health, Tracy Kinsler. Tracy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Here we are coming off summer this past weekend. We're coming off of Father's Day. Do events like that still cause a little worry when it comes to the COVID-19 people getting together?
They do. You know, just because we're seeing a plateauing and a decrease of cases doesn't mean that the virus isn't out there. And any, you know, one or two cases could cause a big outbreak because it's so contagious. So, you know, you feel like you're okay, you don't have symptoms, and you have a family get-together, and one of you is symptomatic and hugging everybody, or not symptomatic, but contagious, and hugging everybody, sharing the same, you know, utensils that are in the potato salad and everything else, and the next thing you know, everybody's got it. So we still want people to be cautious, keep that social distancing, don't share utensils and things like that. Don't have, you know, a buffet where you're all touching the same silverware and things like that. And just be, you know, cautious, because it's, you can spread the virus without ever knowing who actually was the person doing the spreading. So, because they may never develop symptoms and never get tested.
Tracy, I remember in the beginning of this that we were especially worried about our senior citizen population, and then it was thought anybody can get it, but if you don't have a weakened immune system, and maybe you are a kid, somebody under the age of 18, you are less likely to get it. Is that still the case?
I think that's still the case, and they're still trying to figure out why, you know, some people are getting it more severely as a kid, what makes them different. If, you know, you do hear of these unusual cases of kids who don't have immune system issues and things like that, who nonetheless have really severe case. So they're still, you know, doing the research on that, but for the most part, people with immune system issues, chronic health conditions, over the age of 65, those are the ones that are most vulnerable to having a bad case of coronavirus.
In Marion right now, where do we stand when we look at the whole picture, when we look at what happened with the prison, when we look at what happened at Heartland, when we look that there were, I guess, a couple cases at Marion Point, when we look at only one person not involved with a nursing home or a prison has died in the entire time we've had this? Where do we stand right now?
I think that we we are in a good position. We haven't really had any new cases. We had another weekend where we didn't have any new cases, and we didn't have any new cases yesterday. So we're holding steady at 298 community cases total. 180 of those are recovered. And so we're in a good place that way, where those outbreaks that we saw before have run their course. You know, that happens with time. Time is the only thing that, you know, kind of helps that. And so I think that we're in a good place today.
Are there any places in town right now that have any kind of issues that we should be keeping an eye on?
No. No, we don't have any, you know, sort of little outbreaks or anything like that.
You know, last week, and I think it started the week before, we were hearing, because I think sometimes we live in Ohio, and we got a lot of, our governor got a lot of credit for being ahead of the curve of a lot of other states when it came to COVID-19. But now we're hearing about Arizona, we're hearing about Texas, we're hearing about Alabama as places that are having abnormally high numbers of this. What exactly does that mean in those places?
Well, they opened up a lot earlier than Ohio did. And they've had a lot of mass gatherings. They pretty much went back to normal in those states. So they're also states where a lot of people visit. So they're bringing the virus with them. And so, you know, we would expect, you know, the course of a pandemic, we would expect them to see this rise in cases due to those factors of reopening and having large gatherings of people. So I think, you know, Ohio is down the road a month or so from those states because they opened up, you know, so much earlier. So everybody's saying that they doubt that Ohio will go back if we start to see rises in cases, that we're not going to shut everything down again. So we have the potential to becoming, you know, a Florida or an Arizona about a month from now, as everything starts reopening and the big places, the amusement parks and things like that start to reopen. We could certainly see similar spikes in cases.
If I am an Ohioan, and let's say I get in the car and I want to visit my relatives in Alabama, now, what danger am I at if I take the hand sanitizer and I take the masks? If I'm going from a state that is not seeing spikes to a state that is there a great danger?
Well, you know, you have to, you know, when you have your mask and you have your hand sanitizer, if you're driving and you're stopping at rest stops and things like that, if you can avoid having, you know, that close contact with people, make it down to your relatives, and it really is, it, you know, it may not be the whole state of Alabama. There may be sections of Alabama where the spikes are and sections where it's not. But once you get down there, if you and your family members are social distancing, washing your hands, not sharing too much stuff, you know, you're being as vigilant as you can, and your risk is lower. If you get down there and just start partying and kind of forget that you have a risk, you know, you could wind up with coronavirus.
When we're I don't know if we've ever talked about this exactly, but people are traveling now. The numbers have picked up. I think the airline industry, the train industry are happy about this. They're certainly not where they were before coronavirus, but they are picking up some. The price of gas is going up, so people traveling by car is going up. Which is the safest way to travel now? Do we know? Is there any way that has no risk at this point?
The only way you would have no risk is to have your family members in the car and know for certain that none of you have coronavirus. So that's your best bet. Now, most of us are not getting tested regularly, so we wouldn't know that. But if I'm driving with the family members that I'm living with anyways, we already have close contact all of the time. So, you know, as long as you have your household members and you don't have anybody from outside your household in your car with you, that's the safest, because you don't have so many surfaces that you're touching. You're not coming into contact with people that, you know, you don't know for a long period of time, like you might on a train or an airplane. So that's the safest way, is to drive, you know, with your family that you live with to a destination.
If I would decide, because there are a lot of these places that are too far to drive, if I decide to take a plane or a train, I was reading a story this past weekend where I think it was somebody who actually worked for the airline got kicked off for not wearing a mask. Has it become so safe now to fly, so safe to travel by Amtrak or whatever it might be, that this is the travel part of it is no longer a worry? Because everybody's wearing masks, we have hand sanitizer, the airlines are vigilant, so are the train stations, no worry.
It's definitely less of a worry. If everybody on the airplane or in the train compartment are wearing masks, your chances of catching coronavirus go down to like 2%. So it really does, it is an effective way as long as everybody has their masks on, because you're catching the majority of those droplets in your mask. So that becomes pretty safe when everybody's wearing their mask.
Did we ever figure out, I know there was some conjecture on this in the beginning, does it live on surfaces? How long does it live on surfaces? Can it live on an airplane? Can it live on a train?
It does live on surfaces. I don't think it lives as long as they were saying. But for instance, cloth, masks, they're saying, you know, after 72 hours, if you don't wash it, the coronavirus has probably dissipated off of it. So that's, you know, kind of a long time on your cloth masks, which is why we recommend that you wash them after you've been, you know, kind of in a crowd. So it does live on surfaces, and kind of every surface has a different amount of time that it can live. So you definitely kind of just want to check the CDC and look at all the lists of different surfaces and what they think, you know, how long they think that it can live based on research, which has changed from the beginning when we were saying it could live on surfaces for 14 days. You know, they have continued to do their research and are kind of changing those numbers.
Do people, you think, have the mindset now that there's no way this could happen to me? If I take all the precautions and I do everything I think I should do, this just isn't going to happen.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of that. We kind of have two sides. We have people who are very worried it's going to happen to them and are trying to be as vigilant as possible and call and ask us a lot of questions and things like that. And then we have people who don't really think that it's a risk and don't think that it's going to happen to them. And, you know, it can happen to anybody. And then it's just a matter of, you know, how severe your symptoms are. And you really don't know that until you get it, how severe your symptoms are going to be. So it's important for everybody to realize that it's out there and that they could get it any time.
There was a big story yesterday, and I don't even know if there was truth to it, that the lobby of Burger King on Mount Vernon Avenue decided to close, that they were going to continue to do drive-through. Did you hear anything about that yesterday?
I did not.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not. But is this, are people in Marion complying okay with everything that's going on?
Yeah, for the majority of people, they're complying. We do get complaints about some places where the employees aren't wearing their masks and things like that. So we send a sanitarian out to talk to them and make sure they know that they have to wear their mask and that their customers are complaining. And things like that. But for the majority, especially the more time goes by and the more people get used to it and get their plans figured out on how they're going to make this all function, we're seeing, you know, more and more compliance.
As we get closer to the beginning of July and we look toward the beginning of the school year, a lot of people were getting notes from their school district that, hey, we're going to go back to school, we're going to go back at full force, we're going to go back at full schedule. Have the schools been consulting the health department? Is there any idea of what schools will look like when they open in the fall?
Yeah, we've had a couple of meetings with the superintendents, kind of at their request as they try to figure out how to reopen. And, you know, my answer to that is that I don't know. We don't know what the coronavirus is going to look like in August and September. They predict that the second wave could happen in September. We don't know what the governor's orders are going to look like at that time. And so trying to plan today for all these different contingencies, you know, you could spend a lot of money and a lot of time on things that don't even end up in the governor's order. The order goes a different direction, or the Department of Education's orders go a completely different direction. So to me, it was better to say, okay, we're going to reopen as normal. Think of that today as we continue to wait for guidance to come out from the state about how we actually have to do things. And then look at what it's like in August, what the virus is like in Marion in August. And then plan for what are you going to do if you have an outbreak. How are you going to know who was impacted, which classrooms, things like that. What's your plan going to be? How are you going to clean and disinfect? And then as the state starts to release guidance, that's what will follow. But I didn't want to make up my own guidance, and I didn't want to speculate on what the guidance was going to be and cause people to do a whole lot of things that they didn't need to do. Mm.
Do we have any idea, we're not there yet, obviously, but do we have any idea what school will look, what might be the biggest change as we head into August?
I really have no idea. I really don't. I don't know if they're going to be required to wear masks, which is going to be your best bet. I don't know. They may be required to stay within one classroom rather than traveling from classroom to classroom. So I just don't know.
Tracy, as we head into the month of July here and head through the end of really the 3 months, the three big months of summer, how do you see the next two and a half months playing out?
I'm thinking that we will probably stay in kind of a lull for the next couple of weeks as we wait to see what's going to happen with, you know, more and more mass gatherings taking place, things like that. The governor's current order expires at the end of the month, so I'm anxious to see what they're going to do next, if it's just going to expire and then all of the guidance will be over with, or if they're going to create new guidance and new orders. And then, you know, I think mid-July to the end of July, we could start to see increases in cases because of all of the activities that people are doing and things like that. So at the health department, we're going to stay prepared and vigilant and watch for those sort of spikes.
Tracy, I did have a final question for you. Somebody asked me, because a lot of people, it's a weird time right now because a lot of people went back to work who were working in the service industry, but a lot of people who were sent home to work who were normally working in an office setting are still working from home because people feel it's uncomfortable to go back to that particular situation. Do you see any change in that? Are they home forever? Now did they find, hey, that works and let's just leave them home forever? Or do you see a time when they're going to call those people back?
Yeah, I think it just sort of depends. I think there are some companies that are saying this works way better to let people work from home. They're more productive. They get their work done faster, you know, whatever the case may be. And I think there are others who are ready to head back to the office and kind of need that group dynamic. But I certainly think we've seen a lot of changes in the way that businesses operate. Everybody's now used to conference calls and WebExes and Zooms and all of that kind of stuff, so I think that will continue. But, you know, the bottom line with when you're in a pandemic is if we could all just stay home and ride this out, that would be the best thing. And so you start with stay at home, and then you go, who cannot stay at home? And you allow those people to go back to work while the rest of us try to stay at home as much as we can so we can protect those people who don't have a choice. So the longer that people can work from home, you know, the better off they are and the better off people in places like the service industry are because they're not having as much contact.
And we still really have no idea when a vaccine might appear. Unlikely that it would happen before the end of the year. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think it'll probably be next year sometime.
Tracy Kinsler, Marion Public Health Commissioner. Thank you so much, Tracy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. always gives us a lot of very interesting information. And I think it is important to pay attention to this stuff because we are having people travel now. We are having people go back out and eat. We are having people go to the stores. I find some things very interesting right now in this whole pandemic. A lot of the service industries have gone back to work, but yet there are things that have not changed. Some people working at home have continued to work at home. I noticed some big retailers have still decided not to change their hours. It's kind of fascinating in a lot of ways what has and has not happened due to the pandemic. It's very, very interesting. A lot to talk about here this morning, 35 minutes past the hour, but if you have anything to say, questions or comments, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say in regard to that conversation, I would love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. I really enjoyed the conversation we had yesterday, which ate up most of the program, which is what I like. I like when somebody gets on. I've said this time and time again. Some people like to call in and get in and out rather quickly. And the truth of the matter is that if you're saying something thoughtful, if we're having a conversation that I feel is productive, I enjoy having people call in, and they can stay on the line as long as they like, because I think it's what people are talking about at home, and I think people want to hear it. So the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. There's a lot of stuff I wanted to mention here this morning. Now, number one, last Friday I came in because I had gotten this postcard about the gypsy moth, that there were going to be flyovers and we were going to stop the mating rituals of the gypsy moth. So I thought, okay, well, everybody knows about this. People seem to know about this. People were calling in and telling me about this. This has happened in the past. It's when the yellow planes fly a little lower, and that's the gypsy moth treatment. Well, yesterday it happened, and I don't know how many times it happens, but it definitely happened yesterday, and I fired up the Facebook, and immediately you see, what is going on in Marion? Why are these planes flying low? What is going on here? It always catches people off guard, because these big yellow planes do fly rather low, and I always wonder how many calls the police station gets. I wonder how many calls the sheriff's office gets. I wonder how many calls the airport gets or the politicians in town gets when something like that happens. And it was kind of interesting because I thought I was doing some things yesterday, and I was driving home about 6 o'clock last night. And right on 95, as I was just about to cross under the overpass on 95, there it was, clear as day, the yellow plane flying over, taking care of the mating rituals of the gypsy moth. So for all who wondered, who may not have their answer as of yet, yesterday was gypsy moth day. Interesting. Did anybody else see the planes in town or have anything to say on that subject? 740-383-9944. It always causes a stir because we're not used to seeing planes fly that low. And we're not used to seeing planes doing what they're doing. But apparently they're doing a good thing, because we learned last week the gypsy moth can apparently just eat about anything and everything on the face of this earth, and we don't need that, because we like our yards to look a certain way. We like our setups to look a certain way. It's a whole little thing. Now, here is something I want to talk about, because this happened last night, and I've spoken so many times on this program about living alone, and which I like to do. I like living alone. It's great. No problems there. But every so often, something happens that makes you rethink this plan-wise. Now, here's what happened to me last night. I'll share this with you. You're probably the first to hear about this. Okay, here's what happened. Now, I am not a huge fan of air conditioning. I mean, I have it. My house has central air. It's very easy to turn on. It cools off very easy, and there's no big problems really with that at all. Well, last night, I didn't get home till kind of late. I mean, it was starting to cool down outside already after, as I was saying, it was out definitely after 6 o'clock, maybe 6:30, 7 o'clock last night when I was getting home. And there was no issues. You know, the house was cool enough. It's not like I was sweating or anything. I had not had the central air on because it had been a little cooler over the weekend. I don't think I turned it on over the weekend at all. So I come into the house about 6:30 last night. And no issues all night long. Felt fine. Weather was fine. No issue. So it gets to be about 11, 11:30 last night. So I figure, well, I'm going to go lay down and get ready to go to bed, to get up to come to do this show in the morning. And the first thing that happened, which has nothing to do with the weather in the house, but I go into the bedroom, and somehow, and I still don't know how this happened, because I sleep in the same bed every night. I get into the bed, and somehow I just move my foot, and I wasn't even moving it very hard or jerky or anything like that. And somehow I cut the side of my foot. Now, it's not a huge cut. It's just like a little scab. It's scabbed over by this morning. It's just like a little cut. I don't know how that happened. Has nothing really to do with this story, except for the fact that I like telling that somehow in the bed last night, I was able to cut the side of my foot a little bit. But I don't think it's going to be a huge issue because it's not a huge cut. So here's where the point comes of living alone again. So I go to bed, went to bed with no problems, fell asleep very easy. Windows are all open in the house because it's summer and I don't have the air conditioning on. So something happened. I don't know what it was. I don't know if the pollen was up last night. I don't know if the humidity was up last night. I don't know if it's because it rained overnight again. I really don't know what happened. But I go to bed probably pretty close to midnight last night. And I woke up at, it must have been like 3:30. I wake up at 3:30, and it was kind of weird. This was very weird. It was kind of hard to breathe in the room I was in, which is strange because I don't have any type of breathing issues. I don't have asthma or anything like that. And I thought immediately, I thought, well, oh no, what if I'm having some kind of issue here? This is not good. And again, it all goes back to living alone. Now, the funny thing about this is I also have that disease where I cannot call people on the telephone. So I thought, well, you know, I don't know if I should call somebody. It's not like I was gasping for air or anything. It was just a little thick in the room, like the air was a little thick. And then I determined, no, you know, I have a phone disease where I can't call people on the telephone. I'm not going to do that. So I'm just going to get up and see if it's like this all throughout the house. And I got up and I walked out into the living room. And it really was, it was kind of like that everywhere. So I went to the front door and I opened it up and I walked outside. Now, outside, it was a little cooler, obviously, because outside is always a little cooler than inside. And there were no problems outside. So now at 3:30 in the morning, I'm trying to Google what might be the issue here. And I think what happened was, as near as I can tell from Google, is that because I'd had the windows open for the last 4 days, and because we have had these off and on rainstorms, it's caused a high humidity. And in the middle of the night last night, having this rainstorm, it caused a little bit of high humidity, so the air was thick. And the air is thick in the summer when you get humidity. That's what humidity is, air with water in it. And it really was noticeable last night if you had the windows open and you did not have the air conditioning on. Now, this makes me think, man, I should have turned the air conditioning on last night. And it, you know what? That never dawned on me. That's how insane I am. When I was up trying to figure out what this problem is, it never dawned on me, why don't I just turn on the air conditioner? Because it would have cleared it up in like 10, 15 minutes. But the point of this story is, it is always funny that when any kind of thing happens in the middle of the night, even though this was not a huge trauma, obviously it did not cause any big problems, when you have any kind of issues like that, you do get a little nervous because you are there alone. And I think also because it's the middle of the night and you don't expect to have an issue like that going on in the middle of the night. So I think it's kind of twofold as to what's going on there. But, boy, that was strange last night. I have never had humidity that thick. And again, I think it goes back to all the rain we've had over the last few days and exactly what it's caused, and having the windows open and not turning the air conditioning on. So I'm thinking, maybe tonight I'll turn the air conditioning on. Although I don't know why it did not, I don't know why it didn't start to bother me until like 3 o'clock in the morning. That I don't know. Because it didn't bother me at all last night. It didn't bother me when I was going to bed. I really didn't even notice it. But 3 o'clock in the morning, I noticed it. If anybody has any issues or ideas on why in the middle of the night this became an issue, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I'm getting a message here on the gypsy moth thing. They were super low over my house, but we are used to it because the same planes fly over to spray the fields around me. They are my favorite. I don't know why that would be a favorite, but maybe just low-flying planes make some people happy. That could be. You never know. There are certain things, certain different things that make certain people happy. Some people like a good low-flying plane. Some people like a good diet soda from McDonald's. Some people like a good breakfast. You know, we all like different things. You know, there's just not going to be a morning where I don't work that in. That's just the way it is. Okay, so that was my middle of the night story last night. But you know what? It's a funny thing because the names run through your mind who you would call if you were going to call somebody, if you didn't have the phone disease, that you didn't call anybody in the middle of the night. And I was trying to think who I would call. I thought, okay, well, I could, because you don't want to wake anybody up in the middle of the night, you know, because you don't know if you're like having an asthma attack or something, although I don't have asthma or anything like that. So I thought, well, who should I call? And another problem is I don't have fans running in the house because I have air conditioning. So if it gets warm, I just turn on the air conditioning. I don't have the fans going. And I thought, well, who would I call at this particular point in the middle of the night? And honestly, all the names I thought of, I thought, well, you know, I don't want to wake that person up. I don't want to call them. I would feel bad because I think they might worry. So I'm going to have to compile a list of people that, heaven forbid, if there ever was a disaster in the middle of the night, that I would call. I'm finally going to have to do this after all these years of living alone, which has been quite a while now. I also do want to say the listeners of this station are very, very loyal and very, very nice. Now, I'm telling you this because something might be going on here tomorrow. Now, we had a conversation last week on the air about bratwurst, or as I like to call it, bratwurst, the German treat. And I have continued to say that boiling bratwurst in beer has no effect on them. Now, a lot of people feel differently. Now, the reason I say this is because I took a trip to the bratwurst festival a couple years ago, and I was told by the people who prepare the bratwurst over there that you drink the beer and boil the bratwurst. That's the saying over at the bratwurst festival. So I've always kind of followed this. But people don't feel that way. They feel that the beer does change the taste of the bratwurst. So yesterday I ran into a listener of this program who heard that conversation I was having last week, and they say, now I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but they say they're going to bring me bratwurst regular, just regularly cooked bratwurst. Then they're going to bring me bratwursts that have been cooked and boiled in beer. And then they're going to bring me bratwursts that have been cooked and boiled in wine, which I think this is something that some people do. And they want to prove to me that there is a different taste all the different ways that you do this. Now, if they do bring it, I will do the taste test tomorrow morning. As a matter of fact, I might wait for Glenn Coble to come in tomorrow to do this taste test. But I will do the taste test to see if in my mind, in my mouth, that there is any difference in the taste of these bratwurst if they show up today. I don't think there's going to be, because I think bratwurst have such a potent taste anyway. I don't know that any concoction like that could change the taste. It might. I'm not denying it, but give me a buzz. What do you think? Are we still of the mind that it is going to change? I'm not going to lie. If the beer does change the taste of the bratwurst, I will let you know. If the wine changes the taste of the bratwurst, I will let you know. But what do you think will happen? Does anybody have a thought on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I know a lot of people have very strong feelings about this. The beer and the bratwurst and the whole thing. Now, let's see where we are now. What else did I want to talk about this morning? I know there are a few things, but I don't think I can do them all in this particular hour. There's a funny thing I want to talk about next hour, so maybe I'll save it for next hour. Oh, here's what I wanted to talk about, because I got an email about this. Now, yesterday, I was talking about how over the weekend, I believe it was Sunday morning, I got this picture that just, we did a whole thing on this yesterday, so I'm not going to do a whole thing on it this morning. But basically, I got a picture, and it was a funny picture. That's all I'm going to say was it's a funny picture, because the person might listen to the show, and who needs to get into the descriptive nature of their picture, because I think they were just being funny. And they just sent the picture, unexpectedly, and at the bottom of the picture, it said, I hope this makes you smile, which I thought was a very nice deed. I thought that was, you know, really right on the level, how nice. Now, the interesting thing about this was, do you delete a picture like that? Now, I'll tell you why this became an issue last night. Because this has become apparently the scourge of life on the internet. Because some people take pictures on the internet that I guess we would call inappropriate. They take inappropriate. I even hate using the word inappropriate, because I'm not really sure that they are inappropriate. If you're posting them, they're probably inappropriate for the world to see. But if you're sending them to somebody privately, I don't know that they're all that inappropriate. I don't think you're meaning to show them to a bunch of people. So I don't know if they're inappropriate. People certainly have done worse things. So it came up again last night on the news. And again, of course, you have to be of age. Of course, 18 years of age. People sending pics that are, let's just say, maybe more revealing, I guess is the term we should use. Now, the question came that if you are a person receiving these pictures, should you delete them after you get them, or is it just, you know, if the person sends them, it's on them? Now, I find this fascinating, because I guess is that more about computer hackers, people who might hack into your system to get these pictures? Because here's what's fascinating to me about that whole thing. Okay, like with the picture, and I'm not saying the picture from Sunday was revealing at all. I'm not saying that. I'm not confirming or denying anything. But all I'm saying is that the picture that was sent to me Sunday, I don't think anybody would know that I got that picture. Now, maybe if you were hacking into my account, you might know that I got that picture. But you would have to know who sent it to me, which I have not said. And you probably would not think that this person would be sending me a picture. So I don't necessarily know that I am going to... First of all, I don't even know that I would know how to delete the picture, to be honest with you. But I don't know that we should delete these pictures. I don't know. Do you print them out and then delete them? I'm not really sure how this is supposed to work. I have the same question, honestly, when it comes to emails, though. Because we will save letters forever. You know, if somebody writes you a letter, you will save a letter. You'll put it in a book. You'll put it in a Bible. You'll put it in a storage unit. You'll put it in your safe. And that's that. But if somebody sends you a very meaningful email, do you print it out and put it in your safe and your Bible and all these things? I don't know. I really don't know how that works. I think it's kind of a little bit of a strange thing when you think about it. And here's the thing. Okay, let's say that for some reason somebody was out to get you and they did hack your pictures. Okay, let's say that happened. Now, are you really... Okay, you know what? I guess it could probably be embarrassing if they posted them and people saw them who you did not want to see them. But is it really the worst thing in the world? I don't know. I really don't know anymore. I think years ago people would have said yes. But I think times are changing in a weird way. And I think that, you know, if you didn't mean to do it, if you didn't mean to send it out to everybody, I'm not sure that that should be on your head. I'm sure it's not the best day of your life when they come out, but worse things could happen. Now, all of this goes back to the central point of the story that I was telling about the funny picture that I got on Sunday. Here's why people do that. You know, people say, well, why even bother? Why even take a picture like that? And I'm not saying the one on Sunday was provocative, but some people do take provocative pictures. People say, well, why do people even do that? Why do you have to do that? Well, here's why you do that, I think, in a general way. I think, number one, maybe you're sending them to somebody who has some meaning to you. I would guess that probably is a reason. And number two, maybe you're sending them to somebody to show them, I think obviously they would have to have some meaning to you, but maybe you're sending them to them, sending pictures to that person because you trust them, because there does have to be a lot of trust in them. Because to be honest with you, the first person who could rat you out on a picture like that would be the person who got the picture. I mean, we did the story on this station a few years ago, or a year ago, or whatever it's been, about the teacher who was fired who was sending the pictures to her boyfriend. But the boyfriend sent them to the, I believe, principal or superintendent or something like that. So, yeah, that got her fired. But I don't know. Well, she shouldn't have trusted the boyfriend, obviously. So I think essentially these pictures come down to trust. And that's what I've always thought. Anytime anybody sends me a picture, here's the two things, and I'm not saying they're all provocative. I'm not saying any of them are provocative that I've gotten. But what I'm saying is, if somebody sends you a picture, usually the reason you don't delete it is because it is a moment of trust. Yeah, it's a funny picture, and yeah, sometimes it's a provocative picture, but it's not meant to be broadcast everywhere in the world. It's not meant to be put out there in front of everybody. And you know what? It does change your relationship with that person. I can speak from firsthand experience, because you think, hey, you know, that's very cool that that person trusts me enough to do that. And, it can pick your day up in a way. Like I say, the picture I got on Sunday. Here came the picture. Hope this makes you smile. You know, it's kind of weirdly in the internet world a loving gesture. A lot of people have trouble saying they love each other, so that's a way to do that. So anytime I get a picture that just says, hey, I hope this makes you smile, out of the blue, when you don't have to ask for it, which I did not on Sunday morning, I think that's nice. And that will put you in good stead with that person. Again, I'm not saying it has to be a provocative picture, although I can understand why that creates a world of trust between people. But, you know, in the end, people are going to do what they want to do. But I don't know that we should be putting people through the ringer for doing things in the privacy of their own world. especially if they're sending them to somebody they trust. Now, if the person they trust decides to get angry with them and expose them, well, I guess you shouldn't have been trusting that person. So you got pick your friends wisely. Pick your friends wisely. That's always a good rule to learn. Sometimes a harder rule for people to learn than others. But you know what? If I get any pictures between now and the 9 o'clock break, I'll tell you about that. And I'll tell you, I'll let you know how close I and this person have become. Because you know, there are a lot of people who listen to this show who I am close friends with. So maybe it'll be another Sunday morning, I hope this makes you smile moment. And again, not all these pictures are provocative. Some of them are just funny. That's the idea. But I'll let you know in 15 minutes. Plus, next hour, I have got some topics, and I want to ask you a question, but I have got some topics that we've never talked about on this show before. Oh my goodness, you are going to be fascinated. Stay tuned. Scott Spears here on WWGH Radio. Back in 15 minutes.
You're always a little bit missed, of course, because everyone doesn't love you. But at the same time, you have to look at yourself and see whether they're right or not.
Do you go home at night, Helen, and think, my goodness, this person said that, this person said that? Does it keep you up at nights?
Well, I don't say it keeps me up at night. I think that nobody likes criticism, but sometimes it's very legitimate.
Final question I have, probably the question